Welcome in. Today we're building a ReasePad modulation session in Ableton Live 12 that gives you that wide, moving, old-school jungle and classic DNB vibe without the classic beginner problem. You automate the filter, it feels amazing for 2 seconds, and then your meters explode and your whole mix loses headroom. By the end, you'll have one clean, repeatable instrument rack. You'll modulate it across the arrangement view for 32 bars like a real tune. It'll sound alive and chewy, and it won't randomly jump 6 dB the moment the cutoff opens. Alright, let's set the context first. Set your tempo to somewhere around 165 to 170 BPM. That's home territory for jungle and old-school DNB. Now, quick mindset shift. While you're building this, keep your master clean. No limiter, just to be loud. You want to aim for about minus 6 dB of peak headroom on the master while ranging. That's not a rule for life, but it's a really good beginner target because it leaves room for breaks, rides, and that final loudness stage later. Now let's make the resource. Create a new MIDI track and load Wavetable. For a classic restart, set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, then oscillator 2 also to a saw. Detune oscillator 2 a bit so you get that thick phase movement. Add unison, but keep it sensible. 2 to 4 voices is plenty at this stage. The vibe you want right now is thick, not seasick. Now, subtle movement. Take LFO 1 and map it to oscillator 2 tune, but really tiny. We're talking just a few cents. Set the LFO rate slow, around 0.05 to 0.15 Hz. This is pad drift, not a wobble bass. For MIDI, keep it simple. Pick something like F minor or G minor. Long notes, 1 to 2 bars each. Don't overwrite the MIDI. The motion is going to come from modulation, automation, and the device chain. At this point, it should sound like a static ReasePad. Good. Static is fine. Static means controllable. Now we build the core of the lesson. The headroom safe chain. This is where beginners usually skip steps and then wonder why everything clips when they automate. On the ReasePad track, place these devices in this order. First, utility, then EQ8, then auto filter, then saturator, then glue compressor, then another utility, and optionally, at the very end, a compressor for sidechain ducking. Let's do them one by one, and I'll explain why each one exists. First utility, the pre-gain safety net. Set the gain to somewhere between minus 10 and minus 14 dB. Yes, that much. Here's the logic. Modulation and saturation often create level spikes. If you start too hot, every cool automation move becomes a headroom disaster. This pre-gain is you saying, I'm going to build movement, and I'm leaving space for it. Next, EQ8 for low-end protection. Turn on a high-pass filter around 30 to 45 Hz to remove useless sub-rumble. Now, if this Reese is a pad and not your main bass, you can be more ruthless. Try high-passing up at 80 to even 120 Hz. The real sub weight in jungle should usually be owned by a dedicated sub track, not your pad. If it sounds boxy, make a gentle dip around 200 to 400 Hz, maybe 2 to 4 dB. Wide Q. And if it gets harsh when we open the filter later, be ready to tame around 2 to 5 kHz. You can do that with a small cut, or even map a high shelf down to a macro later. Goal here is simple. Stop the pad from eating headroom, especially in the lows. Now auto filter, which is our main modulation engine. Set it to a low pass 24 dB slope, LP24. That's the classic heavy roll-off. Start the cutoff fairly low so the pad sits warm and tucked. Resonance. Keep it modest. Resonance is one of the biggest why did my level jump culprits. Start around 5 to 15%. You can go higher later, but you earn that with control. We're going to automate cutoff across the arrangement, but we're not going to automate it raw. We're going to do it through macro so we can keep it musical and safe. Next, add saturator for controlled grit. Set the mode to analog clip. Drive somewhere around 2 to 6 dB. Turn on soft clip. And this part is huge. Use the output to level match. Your goal is not louder. Your goal is richer. Keep a slash being. If the saturated version feels better only because it's louder, you're being tricked. Next, glue compressor for light leveling. Think of it as a gentle hand that stops your filter open moments from leaping forward. Set attack to 10 milliseconds, release to auto ratio to 2:1. Aim for about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Keep makeup gain off, or at least very conservative. Again, we're not trying to inflate the level, we're trying to tame surprise peaks. Now add the second utility at the end. This is where we do width and final trim. Start width around 90 to 120%. Be careful going super wide. Wide feels amazing in headphones, but can collapse in mono and disappear in a club. We'll do a quick mono check in a minute. Use this utility's gain as a final trim, so you can keep the pad sitting consistent relative to the drums. Optional step: sidechain ducking. Add a standard compressor at the end, enable sidechain, and choose your kick, or kick plus snare bus if you have one. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you get 2 to 5 dB of ducking. This is that rolling pocket where the pad breathes around the brakes instead of sitting on top of them. Cool. Now we turn this into an actual modulate session with macros. Select Waveedable and all those devices and group them. Command G or Control G. Now you've got an instrument rack. Create 8 macros, and we're going to map the controls that matter. Macro 1. Tone. Map it to auto filter cutoff. This is your main arrangement automation. Macro 2. Bite. Map it to auto filter resonance, but keep the mapping range small. Tiny changes here go a long way, and big ranges can create nasty peaks. Macro 3. Grit. Map to saturator drive. Macro 4. Level guard. Map this to the pre-gain utility gain, or if you prefer, the final utility gain. Personally, I like level guard early if I'm driving into saturation, but either works as long as you're consistent. Macro 5. Width. Map to the last utility width. Macro 6. Movement. Map to your waveedable LFO amount, the one doing the subtle drift. Keep the range subtle. Macro 7. Duck amount. If you're using sidechain, map this to the sidechain compressor threshold, so you can automate how much the pad gets out of the way in different sections. Macro 8. Air tame. Optional, but super useful. Map it to an EQ8 high shelf cut, so when the filter opens and the pad starts hissing, you can tame it without turning the whole pad down. Now you've got one rack that can be performed and automated like an instrument, instead of a pile of random knobs. Let's go to arrangement view and actually automate it with an old-school jungle plan. We'll do a 32-bar outline. Bars 1 through 9. Intro atmosphere. Keep tone low, so the pad is dark and tucked. Width around 90 to 100. Grit low. And pull level guard down slightly so it's supporting the world, not starring in it. Bars 9 through 17. Tension and tease. Over these 8 bars, gradually open tone. Not all the way, just enough that you feel the air rising. Add a touch of movement so it feels like it's waking up. Increase width slightly, but keep an ear on mono compatibility. Bars 17 through 25, drop or main groove. Here's a classic jungle move. Don't leave the filter fully open just because it's the drop. Often the pad sits under the brakes, not over them. So pull tone back a bit so the drums stay dominant. Increase grit a little so it gets chewy and present without needing more volume. And bring in duck amount so every kick and snare punches cleanly. Bars 25 through 33. Variation, darker turn. Close the filter slightly again. Maybe add just a touch of bite, carefully. And automate width down a bit so it gets more centered and heavy. That shift from wide to more focused can feel like a whole new section, without adding any extra tracks. Now, here's an extra beginner-friendly automation workflow tip. Instead of drawing tons of curves everywhere, automate one macro per 8-bar section with a clear intention. Darker, brighter, wider, tighter. Then let the internal LFOs handle the micro motion. It keeps your arrangement clean and it keeps you from fighting your own automation later. Now we do the smart headroom checks, because this is the whole point. First, do a loudness sanity check while automating. Loop 8 bars where your tone is opening. Watch the track meter. If opening the filter makes the pad jump up 3 to 6 dB, don't ignore it. Fix options in order. 1. Reduce resonance. Resonance is a peak generator. 2. Reduce saturator drive, because drive adds harmonics and level. 3. Use level guard. Pull it down 1 to 3 dB so the pad stays consistent while the tone changes. Rule of thumb. The energy should increase from brightness and motion, not from raw dB. Next, keep your sublane separate. Even if you think the pad isn't that bassy, Reese pads sneak low end in when unison, distortion, and filter movement start happening. If you already have a sub track, push the pad's high pass up until your sub becomes obviously clearer. That's your clue you're making space correctly. You can always bring some body back later in the low mids, but you can't fix a crowded sub region with wishful thinking. Now, a 5-second mono compatibility check. Temporarily put a utility on the master and hit mono. If your pad disappears or goes hollow, back off the width, reduce unison voices, or keep more low mid content centered. A really clean trick is mid/side EQ. Put an EQ8 after your width utility, switch it to M/S mode, and on the side channel, High pass around 150 to 250 Hz, that keeps width in the highs but keeps the body solid and club safe. A couple more pro-style options, but still beginner-friendly. If you want more air without raising the core level, create a parallel air layer. Duplicate the Reese track, and on the duplicate, high pass aggressively like 300 to 600 Hz, so it's only upper texture. Add a tiny bit of chorus ensemble or facer flanger, keep it quiet and wide, and automate that layer's fader for excitement. Your main pad stays stable, and you still get movement. If you're on Live 12 and you want a little more character, try Roar lightly as a texture send. Put Roar on a return track, then EQ it after with a high pass around 200 to 500 Hz so it doesn't add low end. Send the pad into it gently. Now you can automate texture intensity with a send knob instead of smashing the main channel. Also, if your pad is causing little ticks at the start of notes, soften Wave Eatable's amp envelope attack. Even 5 to 15 milliseconds can reduce sudden peaks that hit compressors and steal headroom. Before we wrap, here's a mini practice run you can do in 10 to 15 minutes. Build the full rack, map the macros, make a basic 32-bar loop, drums with a break and a kick, a simple sub holding root notes, and the Reese pad playing long notes every bar or two. Then automate tone rising over bars 9 to 17. Automate duck amount stronger during bars 17 to 25. Automate width down during bars 25 to 33.